From the Top is made possible with support from UBS.
From NPR, it's the radio showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country. From the Top. This week, from Smothers Theater at Pepperdine University in Malibu, California, our lineup of outstanding young musicians includes a 16-year-old French horn player with an inspirational story to tell. And it's all guitar during the second half of today's show, when legendary guitar virtuoso Christopher Parkening presents two young players. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. Here's our host, renowned concert pianist Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thanks very much and welcome, everybody. A special thanks to our hosts for today's broadcast, Pepperdine University's Center for the Arts. It's great to be here with you. Pepperdine has excellent programs in the arts, as evidenced by this beautiful concert hall, and one of its most famous faculty members from the music department, a distinguished professor even, is our special guest today, the great classical guitarist Christopher Parkening. As Joanne mentioned, he'll be joining us in the second half of our show to introduce us to a couple of extraordinary teenage guitarists. We'll also hear a little bit of what it's like to have a lesson with the maestro. We managed to record Christopher Parkening giving some instruction to one of those young guitarists just a few days ago. But first, we're going to meet some classical musicians who get to clip their nails nice and short like the rest of us. We're going to start out with a fabulous clarinet trio made up of June Kim, 17-year-old clarinetist, Jason Yu, 17-year-old violinist, and Julie Lee, 16-year-old pianist. They call themselves the J-Cubed Trio. They all study at the Interlochen Arts Academy in Michigan. Please welcome them. We have June at the mic. Okay, June, it's J-Cubed because...
It's because all of our names starts with J.
Just in case our Sesame Street graduates hadn't caught on yet. And tell everyone what the three of you have brought to open our show with.
We are going to play the fourth movement of Erlitonian Suite.
All right, when you're ready, we'll take it from the top. I'm going to come turn pages. Thank you. the J-Cubed Clarinet Trio, ages 16 and 17, June Kim, clarinet, Jason Yu, violin, and Julie Lee, piano, starting us off with Alexander Artunian's Suite for Clarinet, Violin, and Piano, the finale. Nicely played, you guys. Sort of like Bartok contrasts by way of Armenia. Only other piece I know for this particular combination. It's actually good that we have this combination of instruments because you guys know each other as friends first and foremost, and then musicians. You've known each other for how long?
Yeah. We've known each other for 3 years, and we went to the same school for 3 years.
And just now that you're, is this the first piece you're working on together?
Yeah. Yes.
That's fantastic. So. So, Julie, what's better? Does the friendship help the musicianship, or does the musicianship help the friendship?
I don't know.
It was a trick question, actually. There's no right answer. No, seriously, I mean, when you guys rehearse, I've heard that, you know, in the course of a two-hour rehearsal, how much actual playing gets done?
An hour at most.
What's going on the rest of the time, you guys?
We gossip a lot and
giggle.
We talk about other things.
Yeah.
And we tease each other.
Yeah. Tease each other about musical things or personal things?
Both.
Like what's the deal with Jason? What do you tease Jason about? Jason's waiting for the lowering of the boom here.
He has what do you call it? Compulsive disorder.
Oh yes.
And one time I spilled a drop of soy sauce on his shirt, and he whipped out the bleach pen and he started to rub it.
No, but you have to treat stains early on. I mean.
Yeah, sure.
Confess, do you have the bleach pen on you right now?
No, I brought it with me, though.
You're a brave man, going on stage without a bleach pen.
No.
Good for you, Jason. Julie, you shouldn't talk, though. I mean, being a neat freak is one thing, but you're incredibly messy.
Yeah.
Your rooms. Well, your dad got really mad once about the room,
yes.
Yeah?
He woke me up at 4 a.m. to clean my room. And actually, well, the room was messy. He took out all the drawers and all my books, so I had to stay up all night to clean those.
Oh my God, so early wake-up call to clean the room. Now, Jason, get back at June here, teasing her about neurosis about her own.
Well, whenever we're done playing for somebody, she needs to know that she's done a good job, so she keeps asking us how she played, and she won't leave us alone until we finally tell her you did a good job, and as long as it's something positive, then she'll be satisfied.
Yeah.
Good job. I know that sounds like damning with faint praise to me. June, would that work for you? Good job, June, or would you
no,
have to say
something? No, it's
more than that. Yeah. What do you like to hear after a performance?
Depends on each person.
We shouldn't be her fault.
How about if I say I don't care what anybody said. I really like your playing. Does that work?
Yeah.
That work? Okay. Easy to please. June, you actually have stopped rehearsals with a special skill on the clarinet. I mean, I think this actually contributed to one rehearsal that just had to be canceled altogether. Why was that?
It was because I squeaked in the middle of the rehearsal, and they said it sounded like a dying dog. Oh. So we were laughing so hard, and we couldn't rehearse.
Couldn't do it.
At all, yeah.
Would you? It was the sound on the clarinet. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, could we hear?
Could we?
Please give us your dying dog. More like a dying duck to me, but that works. You guys are doing great work at Interlock, and it sounds like you're having a great time playing. And we really thank you for coming and opening with the Artunian. Fantastic job. Thanks for being with us, you guys. The J-Cubed Clarinet Trio, 16 and 17, all studying at the Interlochen Arts Academy in Michigan.
Go to fromthetop.org to learn more about Jason, June, Julie, and all of today's jubilant juveniles. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, helping young people of exceptional promise achieve their full potential through education. On the web at jackkentcookfoundation.org, and that's Cook with an...
Our next performer is a terrific 16-year-old French horn player from Salinas, California. His name is Eliodoro Vallecillo, and he goes by Lolo to you, if you treat him well. And before we bring him on stage, I want you to meet him by way of a story filed by our own 14-year-old roving reporter, Chailey Smith.
Lolo, you had a love of music really early on in your life.
Yeah, it actually started when I was five, and me and my family had gone down to Mexico, and my dad had died when I was like one, and so when we got there, my aunt had all these tapes that used to belong to him, and they were all mariachi-style music, and the whole month I was there, I was basically just listening to the music and stuff. So when I got back up here to the U.S., all my uncles would pay me to sing the songs for them and stuff because I had them all memorized. Yo te di de lo bueno que traía
entre mis manos. And then the next thing that happened really big music-related in your life was that a teacher you had in fourth grade had a really big impact on you?
Her name's Jeannie Echenique, and she wasn't even a music teacher. She was just a teacher. And what she did, she started a music program because the district didn't have any programs at any schools there. And basically she just asked us what instrument we wanted to play. And at first I picked clarinet because my brother played it. But when I saw the French horn, it was really cool. I'd never seen anything like it because it's not a musical instrument that they use in Mexican music at all. So when I saw it, it was really unique and like beautiful to me, so I picked it.
And then at that point in your life, you had to go through something really difficult.
Yeah, when I graduated from elementary school and I went into seventh grade and eighth grade, my brother dropped out of the music program and stuff. He stopped playing clarinet and basically just started getting into gangs and stuff. And in eighth grade, one time after school, I went home and I got a phone call, and one of his friends asked for my older sister, and he sounded really like crazy and stuff. So I thought he was just playing, so I gave the phone to my sister, and my sister like dropped the phone and ran because apparently he had told her that my brother had gotten shot, and they were down like a few blocks from my house. So when my sister came back, she was crying and stuff. And I didn't know what was going on. And when they told me, like, I didn't really believe it because my brother had passed away. And I didn't really believe it until later that night when all my family members got together and they were all crying and stuff. So at that point, I just broke down and stuff and started crying too. But before that, I didn't believe it because to me, he was like my father, you know, I didn't think it was possible for him to get hurt or anything like that, so.
But throughout that really difficult period, you never stopped playing French horn?
No, actually, I started getting more into the horn because it helped me get some of that, like, anger and grief out there. And I actually started playing a lot of horn and listening to a lot of horn music and stuff, and that's basically all I did for a long time.
And now you've actually moved in with Jeannie, the woman who kind of got you started in French horn in the first place.
Yeah, I actually moved in with her at the beginning of ninth grade. And it was a really difficult change because back home I have a bunch of sisters and stuff, and my mom's has always been there and stuff, and what I really like noticed was the difference in food, because my mom always has like really good Mexican food and stuff around. Other than that, it's been really good. Really, it's been really nice living with her.
And your music is really taking off now. This is your first year in one of the best two symphonies in the country.
Yeah, now I'm in the San Francisco Symphony Youth Orchestra, and I tried out for it last year, and I was really worried because the year before, me and Jeannie had actually gone to hear one of their concerts, and to me, they were the best orchestra I'd ever heard, and I was really worried that I wasn't going to make it and stuff. So when we were driving down to San Francisco, The whole time I was being quiet and stuff, and Jeannie was trying to talk to me and stuff, and I wouldn't say anything because I was really nervous. So when we got there, I went in there, and when I came out, I was the one talking because I was really excited. I knew I'd made it because it was a really good audition, and I was now I'm in the San Francisco Youth Orchestra.
This is a kind of a dumb question, but I was wondering, how would you say in your own words what music has meant to you throughout your life?
Music has helped me with everything in my life, with my brother's loss, and whenever I feel mad or something, I'll listen to some music, or whenever I feel anything that, you know, I listen to music to help me whenever I feel sad or anything. I think that music is not just music for me, it's like my life.
Now, everybody, please welcome Eliodoro Vallecillo. Lolo, great to have you with us. Congratulations are in order. You are a recipient of one of those Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Awards. That's fantastic news. And I understand you've put the financial award towards something really special.
Yeah, new horn.
Yeah. What's it like compared to the old horn you were playing before?
Well, it's easier to play, it sounds better, and it looks better.
Looks better. Yeah, playing the French horn is never an easy thing, but I mean, it was like obvious, the upgrade, like, you know, great move, fantastic. Can't wait to hear how it sounds. Tell everybody what we're going to play together.
I'll be playing Morceau de Concert by Sanson. Thank you.
Eleodoro Vallecillo, 16-year-old French horn player from, I guess, both Salinas and Santa Cruz, California, I guess we'd have to say.
Yeah.
Playing Saint-Saëns, Morceau de Concert. Fantastic, just really just such a brave performance and just a great sound.
Thank you.
Nice. You know what? I want to say nice horn because it's a new horn, but, you know, it's you, it's Blang. Yeah, you sound great. One of the things that wasn't in Chailey's excellent report about you was the fact that you've had to completely relearn your instrument with a new embouchure. I mean, the way you hold your lip is different now than it was when you started. Why is that?
When I started playing the French horn, I actually didn't have a French horn teacher. I had a trumpet teacher that taught us how to play the French horn. So I basically learned to play the French horn as if it was a trumpet. So I had a trumpet embouchure all the way through ninth grade, and then in ninth grade I started seeing that kids could do stuff that I couldn't do on the horn. So when I was having a lesson with one of my teachers, she mentioned that I needed to change it if I wanted to play.
Yeah, because it's, I mean, it's very different. I mean, it's a question of which is more upper lip oriented, trumpet or?
Well, actually, it's basically the opposite embouchure. Okay. The French horn, you want to have more upper lip in the mouthpiece.
In the mouthpiece, uh-huh.
And it's the opposite with the trumpet, so.
Completely different, yeah.
I was.
So was it like a light went off and it was like, oh yeah, of course, this makes sense, or was it a real struggle to
relearn? I thought
it
was going to be a lightweight thing to do, but actually it took about a year, my whole 10th grade.
Frustrating.
So, yeah.
Good that you stuck with it. That's fantastic. And thinking about your future now, playing the horn really well and doing some great things, you know, playing with the San Francisco Youth Symphony, you know, what do you want to do? What's your ideal life? Is it a life in music?
Yeah, I want to play music. I would like to play in a major symphony someday and play music.
Well, God willing, you will. I'm sure you've got the sound for it. It's great, great having you with us. All the things you've gone through and coming out strong and wonderful in everything you do. Thank you for being with us, Eleodoro.
Thank you. Okay.
Eleodoro Vallecillo, 16-year-old pianist from Salinas, California.
Support for NPR comes from UBS, a global financial services firm and proud sponsor of orchestral music around the world. UBS, celebrating the art of collaboration. From the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, working to ensure that more students graduate from high school ready for college, work, and citizenship. GatesFoundation.org. And from the Charles Stewart Mott Foundation, online at MOTT.org. Supporting efforts to promote a just, equitable, and sustainable. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
Welcome back to the radio showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country, From the Top. This week we're coming to you from Smothers Theater at Pepperdine University in Malibu, California. Coming up, two beautiful guitar duets played by a couple of teenagers, one from Italy and one from just down the road in Pasadena. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston, where talented young musicians are creating a new century of musical excellence. Our appearance here at Pepperdine University is made possible with support from Howard and Roberta Amundsen. Special thanks to radio station K-Mozart. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to hear more guitar than those two duets Joanne just mentioned, because now it's all guitar, all the time. And to help us focus on teenage classical guitar playing, please welcome one of the preeminent guitar virtuosos of our time, a guy who happens to live just down the street here in Malibu when he's not touring or fly fishing in Northern California. Please welcome the great Christopher Parkening. Christopher, welcome to the show. This is a very special treat for us.
Just thank fantastic. You. My pleasure.
You know, we have presented so many young guitarists on this program, and your name comes up so often. Either you've already, you know, given them some words of advice, or they want to model themselves after your playing, after your life. They want to be just like you when they grow up. And so here you are. So now, Christopher, we're going to ask you what you were like as a very young guitarist in a moment, but first, let's get a little of that fabulous classical guitar sound in our ears by listening to the first of the two teenage guitarists you're presenting today.
Yes. Carlo Corrieri is a very excellent young guitarist, only 18 years old, from Italy. He's here for 1 year studying with me at Pepperdine University, and just an excellent musician, plays with wonderful feeling and passion, and has a wonderful technique as well. And he is a joy to teach, Carlo Corrieri.
Welcome in. Carlo, welcome. Why don't you tell the story of how you came to be a student of Christopher Parkening?
I decided to come at Montana State University, Montana, at Christopher Parkening Masterclass in 2005. And it was been a dream, studying under Christopher.
Weren't you a little suspicious, though, Carlo? I mean, here he is at Pepperdine, this beautiful place on the Pacific Ocean, and you're going to Montana State University. Weren't you a little suspicious that there was more fly fishing going on there than guitar playing?
Montana State University is a wonderful place to teach, but likewise a wonderful place to do some fly fishing. Yes. With some of the greatest blue ribbon trout streams in the continental United States there. And I must confess that after a few master classes, I have snuck out on the stream and done some fly fishing.
So let's see. Carlo, you're going to play a piece by a composer with a special place in Christopher Parkening's heart.
Yeah.
First of all, Carlo, tell us what the piece is going to be.
I'm going to play Capriccio Diabolico by Mario Castelnuovo Tedesco.
Okay. And Christopher Castelnuovo Tedesco championed you as a young player in a very important way.
That's right. He championed the classical guitar, more importantly, wrote some wonderful pieces for the instrument, and sent a tape of a performance that I gave of his concerto for guitar and orchestra to his friend, Andres Segovia in Spain, requesting a scholarship for me way back when. So became a mentor and a friend, and very grateful for Mario Castelnuovo Tedesco.
Great boost at a very important time. So apropos, Carlo, let's hear this wonderful piece that you're brought.
Thank you.
Cordieri, 18-year-old guitarist from Pisa, Italy, studying with Christopher Harkening here at Pepperdine University, playing Mario Castelnuovo Tedesco's Capriccio Diabolico. Diabolic indeed, really just amazing, virtuoso guitar writing, fantastically played, beautiful sound too. So how did he do, teach?
He did really, really excellent, excellent, bravo, bravo, Carlo.
Actually, Carlo, you and Christopher Parkening have some similar stories about your early life with the guitar. Let's talk teachers. Christopher, when you were old enough for guitar lessons, and I understand you started out on ukulele, little tiny fingers, and you know, eventually kind of worked your way, when you actually were looking for a teacher, a great piece of luck.
My first teacher was actually Celedonio Romero, and my father, I remember, called a local music store and talked to the guitar teacher there. It was in a place in Hollywood called Wallach's Music City, and he called there years ago. And the guitar teacher said, "We are completely filled up. I can't take a single student in addition." But he said, "There's a Spanish family that's just moved into town, and they're supposed to be quite good, and their names are the Romeros." So my first teacher, believe it or not, was Celedonio Romero, which I'm very grateful for.
And Carlo, you were very lucky in the teacher you came to work with before Christopher Parkening. Who did you study with in Italy?
I studied with Matteo Mela. He's an incredible classical guitar and teacher, because he has a wonderful technique.
A very unusual and singular technique. I mean, something that I think a lot of people should know about. I had no idea. It has to do with the fingering of the guitar.
Basically, it's something regarding the finger. When you start to learn a piece, you start to see the piece and try to figure out the right finger. And every finger must be connected with the others.
It's more sort of continuous? I mean, in terms of...
Yeah, when you have to learn a piece... sometimes you have to change the fingering, mm-hmm. because it can be a 19th century piece. It doesn't have finger written on the on the score. Mm-hmm. And you have to try to search the best fingering for this piece. And that's the imagination of the musician, the guitarist.
Or to make the smoothness, would you say, Christopher, the philosophy behind it is the continuousness of the sound?
Well, I learned a hard lesson regarding guitar fingering years ago.
I was at Andre Segovia's first United States Masterclass, and I guess I foolishly chose the very difficult and famous Bach Chaconne from the Partita Number 2 in D minor to play for Maestro Segovia. I think it was the third day of the Masterclass, and Segovia had fingered the piece beautifully, where he kept the same phrase on the same string, kind of like the violin and the cello does, and it was masterfully thought out. And now my previous teachers had changed the fingering to make it easier for me to play. I was 15, 16 years old, so I start the Bach Chaconne, and a few minutes into it, the next thing I heard was his foot smashing the stage floor just with a crash. His foot hits the stage floor, and I looked up, and he was furious. His hands were above his head, and he said, "Why have you changed the fingerings?" And I was melting on stage. I was so just embarrassed and shocked that I would have disappointed my musical inspiration. And he said, "Why have you changed the fingerings?" And I said, "Well, I didn't change the fingerings. My teacher changed the fingerings."
Passing the buck.
Nice. To make it easier to play. And he said, "Who is your teacher?" And I told him, and he said, "Well, change it back tomorrow." And so I was up all night long changing the fingerings of the Bach Chaconne. But I learned a great great lesson that day, that you keep the fingerings on the same string in the same phrase to keep the tonal quality consistent.
Yeah, nice. Early teaching was very important to both of you, but you also, Carlo and Christopher, had very important concerts very, very early in your career. Actually, both at age 15. Carlo, when you were 15, where did you play?
I played in Padova, Italy, in an incredible, old, beautiful hall, and with a national television there.
Wow.
And there was 2,000 people completely full on the stage, and I didn't know that. I was walking on the stage. Oh my, so many people. How can I play now? So it was a wonderful experience because I never had so many people in my concert.
And Christopher, your concert at 15 was actually the one where Castelnuovo Tedesco was in attendance and you were playing his concerto. He liked so much what he heard, he wrote Segovia on your behalf. Tell us about that.
That's right. That was really my debut concert with orchestra, with the Young Musicians Foundation Orchestra, playing the Concerto in D Major by Mario Castelnuovo Tedesco. And I had the opportunity, Chris, to study weekly with the composer, the interpretation of his piece, and so he was in the audience, and it was a sold-out house. And I remember a week before I was kind of anticipating the concert, and I would imagine walking out in front of those hot lights and with all those people and playing for the first time with the orchestra. And finally the day comes, and I walk out on stage, and I walked out kind of in a daze, and I sit there and those hot lights, and the orchestra begins the concerto. And I sat there, and it was like a dream. I was sitting in a dream. It's finally happening. And it's time for the guitar to come in. And I started the beginning of the piece almost in a fog, mechanically, just playing through it mechanically. And I made it through the end of that section. And then the orchestra has a section where they play. And then the guitar comes back in. And when I came back in, I recomposed that section of the piece with some wrong notes. And I realized at that point, I am not going to play this piece perfectly. It's gone, it's over, you've messed up. So I remember right then, it totally relaxed me. I thought, okay, mm-hmm. I can go for it now. Mm-hmm. I can relax and...
You missed a note and the proscenium didn't collapse? Is that amazing or what? Isn't that
so
a wonderful realization?
I've never forgotten that. The rest of the concert went fine, and at the end of the concert, I introduced the composer who's in the audience, and he signed his score for me afterwards, and ended up writing a solo piece for me. So
yeah,
that was
fantastic.
That was a wonderful
obviously
experience.
Much better than you had in your head imagine things were going. As a matter of fact, we can, if it's okay with you, we were going to hear a little bit of a recording made at that concert at Rice Hall in March 1963. This is the third movement we're going to hear. Sounded pretty phenomenal for a 15-year-old to me. I mean, my gosh, how does it make you feel hearing it this many years later?
I still, when I hear that recording, I think some of the same feelings come back. But I am definitely grateful for the grace of God and allowing me to get through it.
And now you're passing on the torch to the next generation of guitarists here at Pepperdine, just like the Romeros and Segovia did for you. We listened in on a session you and Carlo had last week. Check this out.
Excellent playing, clean technically. Sometimes I know that's a tendency when you're trying to play something clean to play more careful, you play softer, just so that you'll play the passage clean. This section is so difficult and it's so fast, but when you got up to the high note, it was forte instead of double forte, and it sounded like you might have been playing it careful. So I might recommend that you start again and play a double forte and just go for it in that passage, Carlo. Okay, start from the 3-4 bar. Very high note here, those high A's, the octave high A's, really double, triple forte there. And by the way, the composer has written con fuoco, which means with fire, so he wants you to go for it. Even louder than that. Yeah, you really need to push your instrument to the point of almost breaking. Yeah, that's close.
Christopher, nice job translating con fuoco for Carlo Cordieri. Carlo, does it really mean with fire?
With fire.
Tell the truth. Okay.
Yeah.
Always wondered about that myself, actually.
I confirm.
Good. He concurs. Carlo, we're going to hear you play a couple of duets in a moment with the next young guitarist Christopher is presenting us with, so stick around. Christopher, tell us about this next young man.
Yes, Tim Calobre is a wonderful young guitarist, just 13 years old from Pasadena, California. He was a finalist in the Young Guitarist Competition here at Pepperdine University, and as well has just a wonderful technique and excellent, natural, innate musicianship. He was a joy to teach as well in a recent masterclass that I gave here at Pepperdine. So this is Tim Calobre.
Tim. Tim, welcome. Good to see you again. Christopher, what did you think of the way Tim walked on stage that time?
It was very excellent. Just perfect. Tim, stage presence.
That way of entering, of holding the guitar in a particular way, is something that Christopher Parkening taught you specifically?
Yes, it is. He told me to hold the guitar in the center where the neck of the guitar meets the body, mm-hmm. and have my elbow curved, as opposed to what I was doing before, holding it on the neck without my elbow.
Dragging it on the stage.
Yeah.
Good move. Nice, good advice. Tim, what have you brought to play for us?
I'm going to play the third movement of La Cathédrale, written by Agustín Barrios Mongoré.
Okay, stage is yours. Thirteen-year-old Tim Calabre from Pasadena, California. Tim, wonderful to hear you, as always. We're going to hear these two terrific young guitarists play together. But first, Joanne.
Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at npr.org/podcasts. Each year, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation present 25 performers of exceptional musical ability, outstanding academic potential, and financial need with the $10,000 Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Award. Learn more at fromthetop.org. Chris.
Okay, let's hear these guitar duets. Carlo, what's the name of the first one?
The first piece, La Rossignol, is a very lyric Renaissance piece.
Very old piece. And Tim?
The second piece is called El Paño Maruno.
Okay. Great way to end our show. I want to thank all of our young performers today, and especially our special guest, Christopher Parkening. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Great to be with you. Thanks for bringing these great players. And thank you for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, Carlo and Tim, whenever you're ready, you can take it from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Vagley for Tom Vagley Productions, with Tim Banker for From the Top. The music producer is Tom Vinieri, and the tour producer is David Balsam. Our production manager is Kim Razeman, and our technical director is Barrett Willett, with Dan Hallis and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavin and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is made possible in part by the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism. Our program is produced in association with WGBH Boston. Our home and educational partner is New England Conservatory in Boston. To download an application to appear on From the Top, visit fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from UBS, a global financial services firm and proud sponsor of orchestral music around the world. UBS, celebrating the art of collaboration. From the Geraldine R. Dodge Foundation, supporting educational, cultural, and environmental initiatives to make our world more livable, on the web at grdodge.org. And from the Kellogg Foundation, helping people help themselves by investing in children, their families, and their communities, on the web at wkkf.org. This is NPR, National Public Radio.